Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim is Pei Dalet, and we are holding, actually, towards the bottom of the daf. We're a line below the middle of the daf. And the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that a woman who asserted herself on any type of hanot from the brios is nonetheless able to be nene yechola lehenot b'leket shikha upeya. Now, the Gemara points out that it's rather interesting that the Mishnah says that the only thing that she's able to take in the event that she's a surah is dafka leket shikampeya. Now, we know leket shikampeya is something that you don't give out as an owner, and you allow, because it says aziva. It even mentions aziva twice, and therefore we learn out from there all kinds of special binim, legabi, the question of how you could be mafkir. But one thing's for sure, if you're ozev, then that means that you don't hand it out. You let them take it. And what's the difference? There's an obvious difference. If you hand it out, that's called tovat hana'a. So that you have the ability to decide to whom you are giving the leket shikupeya, but you don't have such a right. Therefore, the Torah says that you have to leave it there. Now, it does not say Maiser Ani in that list, which implies that you would not be able to be Nene from Maiser Ani. Why not? Apparently because there is Tovat Hana'a, and anything that is considered to be given to you, in this case the woman, takes Maiser Ani from someone who's giving it to her. If she's a Surah B'Hana'a, then the very fact that he chose her to give it to her and gives it to her is itself a hana'a directly from someone that she's a surah to be nene from. And therefore, it doesn't list Maiser Ani. The problem, says the Gemara, is that in the Braita, it says that she is allowed to take Maiser Ani. How do you explain that? But Tanya Bebraisa, Yechola Le'anod, Beleket Shichopea, and Maiser Ani. So apparently, when you make a neder not to be nene from other people, the Maiser Ani is something that you get directly, and he doesn't hand it out to you. How do you explain that? Omer of Yosef, there's no problem. We know well that there are two very different shitas about the din of Maiser Ani. Is Maiser Ani something that you have Tovat Hana'a in to hand it out? Or is Maiser Ani something that is similar to Leket Shikopeya, and therefore you do not have any Tovat Hana'a in the event that you don't have Tovat Hana'a? So then if the woman goes and takes your Maiser Ani, she's not getting anything from you, in which case it's no different than Leket Shikopeya. Where do we have this Machlokas, says Rabbi Yosef? Oh, he has a big Chiddush. We learn it actually from a Mishnah in Demai. So let's just remember the main yesodos when we get back to the question of demai. And it's very important to have all of this clear in your head so that there won't be any confusion in the daf, because the sugyas are interrelated and a little bit complex because of that. So remember that we have various things that need to be separated out from the things that grew in the field. So what are those things? Well, you've got truma. You've got Maiser, and then, of course, the Levi would have to take off Trumas Maaser from the Maaser. You've got Maaser Sheni. You've got Maaser Rishon, which is supposed to be given to the Levi. And you have Maaser Ani every third year. So you give the Maaser Ani instead of the Maaser Sheni, which has to be in Yerushalayim. The Maaser Ani is either given or left to the Ani. Now, that's exactly what the question is. Okay. And then the Shaila would be, what if you don't take out one of these things? So you have Tvua, and you took out Truma, but you didn't take off Maiser. Then what's left behind is not yet Chulin. It's considered to be Kadesh in the sense that it's called Tevel, and if you eat the Tevel, you would be Chayav Misa. So if you took the Truma, Misa B'Shemayim, obviously. If you took off the Truma, it's not going to help you. How about if you took out the Maaser? It's not going to help you. You still have to take off the Trumat Maaser. How about if you took off the Trumat Maaser, the Maaser, the Truma, but you left Maaser Sheni, and you didn't mafrish the Maaser Sheni? What would be the din? Still Teva. Okay. What if you took off the Maaser sheni, and you took off the maaser rishon, you took off the trumat maaser. This is absolutely hilarious. It's, come on, give us the whole, there you go. So what would be the din? It would still be teva. Now the question is, what if you took off everything, but the only thing you didn't take out was maaser oni? So what would be the din over there? Is that going to leave behind teva or not? Ah, now that may be the secret ingredient here in the machlokas. So let's talk about the makor of this halacha. We learn out from the pasuk of v'lo yechalalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael, asher yarimu l'Hashem. What does that mean, asher yarimu? What is the kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu? Because asher yarimu means that which you are going to take off to Hashem, right? So that teaches us that there is something called Kodshei B'nai Yisrael, whose Kedusha is dependent in the fact that you are supposed to be taking out things from it. Now that's the makor of the Din of Teva. So anything that you are supposed to be taking out, Asher Yarimu LaHashem, that leaves behind Kodshei B'nai Yisrael, then would be a Mesubo. You would be Chayim Misi B'nai Shamayim if you ate the remaining Teva. Okay, now let's move on to the concept of Demai. Demai, as you know, was a Takana Drabanan, that even though most Ami Haaretz are not Nechshad, and you would be allowed to eat in their homes, and they could give you salad, and there'd be no problem, and provide you bread, and there would be no problem. But what happened was, because many Ami Haaretz, not the Rov, but many Ami Haaretz were becoming loose in their observance of these halachas. Because of that, the Chachami made a takana that when you buy something from an Am Haaretz, even though it's not really a suffix in the sense of a suffix d'oraisa, because you have a rove, and you could be sermech on a rove d'oraisa, the Rabbanim made a takana called demai. Demai, which means demai, sort of. What is this? So where you cannot be absolutely certain that the Am Haaretz took off all of what he needed to take off, so you need to take it off again. And only that way are you allowed to eat it, unless this person is not Am Haaretz, he's a chaver, and he was mekabel on himself to be makbid on these things. So then he has a badatz, that anything that he serves you is considered to be kosher. Okay. So now the question is, what happens when you buy from an Am Haaretz and you have to take off trumas and maasers? So when you take off truma, what do you do with it? Well, if you're not a kohen, you can't eat truma. So it's not enough to just take out the truma from the teva, because you're not going to be able to eat it. You're going to have to actually remove it from the teva, then you give it to a kohen. What about maaser? Now maaser, now hold on a minute. Maaser rishon is not osir on a Yisrael. It's meant to be given to a Levi, but you could keep it and eat it unless the Levi could prove to you that you needed to take it off. That's a separate issue. In other words, there's the Isser component, and then there's the Momon component. Do I owe the Truma and the Meiser to the Kohen and Levi? I don't know. Prove that I didn't take it off. So the Truma, I'm not going to be able to eat myself, but the Meiser, since there's no Isser on Yisrael eating Meiser, I do have to remove the Meiser from the Tevel by saying, okay, the Meiser is on, I don't have to physically remove it, but I have to delineate. Over here is the Meiser. Now, what do I do with it? Leave it there. Well, aren't I stealing? No, because the stealing from the Levi is a monetary component. And when it comes to Mammon, Hamotzi Michaveiro Lavaraya, if he wants to take the Meiser from you, you tell him, okay, prove to me that this guy that I bought from, even though most Ami Haaretz take off Meiser, prove to me that he didn't. Well, obviously, the guy's not going to be able to prove it. And therefore, you announce the Meiser Rishon is on the north side, let's say. But you don't have to remove it. You would have to remove the Trumat Maaser after you take off the Maaser. And that's 1/100th of the whole thing, right? Because that you're not allowed to eat, because that is a Din in Truma. Now let's move on. So you've taken out the Truma. You've left inside the Meiser Rishon, but you announced where the Meiser Rishon is. You took out the Trumat Maaser, and now you're coming to Maaser Sheni. Okay, you have to delineate the Maaser Sheni too. Are you allowed to eat Maaser Sheni? only in Yerushalayim. So what do? Practically speaking, you are poded. So you have money. Everybody, we do this all the time, right? Thank you, Elroy, for coming to my rescue.
I can't poder it because in my neighborhood, the Kedusha is neklat, unless it becomes tummy. But I just want to mention that everybody comes to my neighborhood.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. I want to know, did you just hear a stira? Was there a particular neighborhood that was my neighborhood? Does this mean that even in Turkey, you're not allowed to eat, that it becomes niklat, you can't be paid a meiser sheni? Or is it the pshat that all things go through whatever neighborhood there is and they appear mamish in the actual home? I don't know what the point is.
The Barnea Nexus. But I thought Rebbe would raise, is it Nechle Kalashvatim or is it Kol Yisrael and it's nobody's neighborhood? I accept the latter.
Okay. So now, the Shaila is like this. You've taken off everything. You've dealt with it the way you need to deal with it. You've come to a year of Meiser Oni. Suppose you don't take out the Meiser Oni. Is it still Teva? Now that turns out to be a very important question. And what's fascinating about this question is, since we know for a fact, now we don't know why, and we'll talk about that separately. We don't know why, but we do know for a fact that there is a machlokas about whether Tevel remains Tevel just because you didn't take off Meiser Ani. Well, it turns out that that machloket is actually going to explain when the woman who made a neder is allowed to be eating Meiser Ani from the person that she's not allowed to be neder from, and when she's not. What? What does one have to do with the other? Everything. Because remember, since the source of the din of Tevel was the pasuk, Asher Yarimu Lashem, Lo Yechalalu Et Kachei V'nei Yisrael, Asher Yarimu Lashem, Atidim Larim. Whatever you are, it's incumbent upon you to take it off. That lashon of Yarimu puts it into your hands. You have to take it off and you have to deal with it. Okay. So then if that's the case, if I have to take it out and I have to deal with it, so then that means I give it out to people, right? It's up to me to deal with it. So if Maaser Ani is included in Asher Yarimu, so then it would mean that I am the one who is giving it out. If I'm the one that's giving it out, then she is not allowed to be nene, because that is called my tovat hana'ah. It's coming from me. It's mine to determine. And you know what else? That tovat hana'ah might even be worth literal dollars and cents. Because, I mean, it's true, it isn't worth the whole value of the thing. But since I can make the determination, wouldn't you be willing to give me 20 cents on the dollar to give it to you instead of to somebody else? That 20 cents on the dollar is worth money. So that's a different issue, which we'll see, which even means that it's getting actual value from it. Fine. So there's two issues here. First of all, I made the decision in her favor, and that is a hana'a. Secondly, the value of what it is that I gave her is actually mine, perhaps. That we'll see separately. And therefore, once we understand that if you hold Asher Yarimu Lashem includes Meiser Ani, then that means she is not allowed to be Nene. If Asher Yarimu Lashem does not include Meiser Ani, then she's allowed to go and just take it, like a Chikrupeya. But that same pasuk, Asher Yarimu Lashem, is the difference between it being Tevel if I don't take the Meiser Ani out, because I'm Asher Yarimu, I'm supposed to. Or if it doesn't refer to Meiser Ani, then Tevel can ignore Meiser Ani. If you didn't take Tevel out, you didn't take the Meiser Ani out of your Tevel, it doesn't matter. It's still not going to be Tevel. Okay, so if we find a machlokas, which is what the Gemara does today, it finds a machlokas about whether Tevel that is not missing any truma taken out of it at all, took off all trumas, all maestras, except for Meiser Ani, is it still Tevel? It turns out that that machloket is going to be nogea whether the woman can be nene from the Meiser Ani, and therefore we'll explain the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita. Now, it happens to be, just as an additional confusing point, that the machloket about whether Tevel, remains Tevel if you don't take off Maaser Ani, happens to be mentioned in the context of Dmai. It has nothing to do with Dmai, because even Vadai would be exactly the same Achloket. It's not that we treat Dmai any differently than we treat Vadai, but since it's the Mishnah in Dmai that describes the difference between whether I need to take off Maaser Ani or not, we are assuming that that is just another way of introducing us to a machlokes about whether the Maaser Ani not being removed creates teva. That's the Gemara's set of assumptions for the first part of the daf. If you got that straight, then everything will be clear.
Can you repeat that last point? Just the last point.
We are assuming that the machlokes in the Mishnah in Dmai about whether you need to take off from purchase after purchase from an Am Haaretz, do you need to take out the Maaser Ani or not? We're assuming that that has nothing to do with it being Dmai. It's a general question about whether or not not taking out Maaser Ani leaves Tevel. So if Maaser Ani leaves Tevel, so of course you have no choice, even if, since we're giving Dmai a din of a suffix, so you have to take it out. But if not taking out Maaser Ani does not create a problem with Tevel, so just forget about it. What do you care if you leave it there? You're not going to be giving it to any Aniyim anyway, right? Because it's all Hamotzi Mechavero, all of Haraya. Okay, so beautiful. Now listen, you guys, Yitzin Ariel, don't think that I don't know that you have me dressed up on that screen with a virtual reality thing looking like a Martian with it. I know that that's what's so funny, and I don't think it's very nice. But all right, it just spreads Torah out to alien planets. That's how I look at it. Therefore, Yagdil Torah v'Yadil. But at least try not to smile.
So we're fighting with the webcam today, so to get it in position, and then I just kicked it with my foot. So I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's actually the best picture on the screen, because always smiles and always laughs. So let's take a look at it inside. Omer of Yosef, there's no real contradiction between the Mishnah that doesn't allow her to take Maaser Ani, our Mishnah, and the Braita that does allow her. Why not? Because one is going Alibed Rabbi Eliezer, and one is going Alibed Rabbanan, HaRabbanan. So the Mishnah here, that's going according to Rabbanan. What am I referring to? It's not. I, says Rav Yosef, I'm referring to the Mishnah in Dmai. And it says over there, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein Adam Tzarich Likrot Shema Maaser Ani Shel Dmai. You don't have to even bother defining the area where the Maaser Ani is. You could just leave the Maaser Ani there, not even remove it, and not even be Kore Shem. That's called Kore Shem. You don't even have to announce that it is, let's say, on the northeast side of the produce. The Rebbe is here, but the Gabbai isn't here. How do you explain that, Rebbe? You're taking Achrayus for your Gabbai? There's so many things that need to be written down, and now your Gabbai is not here to write? I think under these circumstances, the Rebbe has to start writing instead of his guy.
I better give him a call.
Okay. That's the easy solution. Fine. That's a real reversal of tables here. Go after him. Okay.
The Rebbe is about to be Mekayim. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium. He's going to Belgium today, and it's Tuesday.
Sir Eliezer Omer, Ein Adam Tzarich Likrot Shema Maaser Ani Shel Dmai. There's no need to even define where it is. And again, our assumption is that that's true even if it would be Vadai. Except that, of course, you have to because it's a mitzvah, but it's not going to create Teva. No, you need to define it because otherwise you're going to have a suffix Tevel that's left behind. Or Tevel Shel Dmai. But you don't have to actually physically remove it. Ain't tzarich lahafrish. Okay, so then that means, I'm assuming, that the machlokas is like this. My love. Leman, yomer sveko tovel. It's according to the Chachamim who say you absolutely must take it out. Why is that? Because they hold it's included under Lo yechalalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu. Asher yarimu means whatever you are mechayev to take out and give out to people. But then that would mean that it's up to you to give it out. If it's up to you to give it out, it le'tovat hana'ah, so then that means that the woman in our case is going to be unable to be nenim from it. Because kivan de'it le'tovat hana'ah, since you are the one that is supposed to be giving it out, so then the woman who has the neder over here, lo mahanya, she can't take that from him, because when he gives it to her, then she's being nenim from him. So then that makes perfectly good sense. Ma she'en ken Reb Eliezer, he says, l'man yomer eino koreshem, that if it were meiser, if it were vadai, of course, you would be koreshem. And, you know, I mean, that's your absolute chiev. But here with the mai, there's no chiev of being koreshem. You just have to make sure that you don't have tevil behind. Well, it won't make tevil anyway. So why bother? And therefore, l'man yomer eino koreshem, he holds that suffik eino tovel. Now, again, suffik is not an important word over here because it's not true. Even the vadai eino tovel. It's because even the vadai eino tovel that there's no need to be koreshem in the suffik, you see? So obviously the machlokas is in terms of my, because since there it's only a suffik and I don't have an absolute chiev, so the Rabbanan said, okay, if it's not going to create tevel, then don't bother being koreshem. That's why we have the machlokas here in Demai. But the words suffik that the Gemara keeps using is just misleading. Because the way we understand it now, we're utilizing the Mishnah in Demai to discover whether or not leaving Meiser Ani inside the produce is going to create a state of tevel or whether it will not. Okay, so therefore, don't let that fool you. This suffik is irrelevant. So therefore, basically what we're saying is that according to Reb Eliezer, the din is that even vadai is not going to create tevel, which means that when it says, v'lo yechalalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu la'ashem, that does not include meiser ani. And therefore, if the halacha is that there is no tevel, then it means there's no chiyav on you to be meirim. But if there's no chiyav on you to be meirim, then there's also no right that you have to give it out, because they're interdependent. If it's asher yarimu, then the Torah is saying, you take it out and take care of it, man. Don't leave it there. But if you're telling me there's no asher yarimu, so then you don't give it out either. If I don't give it out, so then that woman who comes in and takes it is not getting it from me, and therefore there's no tovat hana'ah. And if she is a surah bahana'ah, there's no problem. I'm not getting enough from you. I'm just taking what I have a right to, namely my sirani. Okay? This is Rabbi Yosef's assumption, and this is how he explains the difference between the Mishnah and the Bright. Now, what still remains up in the air is that we're starting, but we are not finishing. In other words, we never explained, where does this come from? I mean, like, what's the machlokas? It's a little bit strange, because all we know is the symptoms. We're talking about symptoms. If there's no asher yarimu, then there's no teva. If there's no asher yarimu, then there is no issue of tovat hana'ah. And therefore, this will make the difference in terms of the halachas of nedarim, right? That's what we've done. We've just created an equation. It's a very simple equation. But what the heck is it all about? What is the basis of this machlokas that Rabbi Yosef is creating over here as to whether Maisa Ani is Tovel? Because it doesn't say anywhere that there's such a machlokas. Rabbi Yosef is taking the symptoms and he is leaping to the conclusion that that is the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The truth is, I can give you all kinds of other explanations for what the machlokas is, and has nothing to do with whether the vadai is going to be tevel. It's only a din in demai for other reasons. So, I mean, if Rabbi Yosef isn't explaining to us, like, what's the makor? Well, there needs to be some kind of reason for the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Is that something that troubles you? If it troubles you, then I shall tell you. There are two solutions. You could take Barnea's solution, which is essentially 40% alcohol. Oh, that's one solution. Or it may be the Kool-Aid acid solution. But whatever it is, it's not the preferred solution for today. The preferred solution is to take the Ron's approach as to what the machlokas would be, because that gives us a lot of fascinating insights into underlying principles about this whole thing. I want to see you drink that first, Barnea. I noticed, yeah, there's nothing in it. You prove it. You shake it up and down. There's clearly, turn it upside down. Go ahead. Turn it upside. No, not off camera. There you go. There's nothing in it. I told you. A fake out the whole time. From now on, you want to do something? Take Akiva's approach.
I malach cheres biado.
There you go. It's got to be transparent. Remember, this is all about transparency. The most important word in the modern vocabulary. When I don't tell you anything about anything, then I'm being totally transparent. 1984 has much to learn from our times. So, people who are completely and totally half dead are called woke. Anyway, so continuing on, the Ron suggests that the machlokas is like this. And the reason why I think it's kedai for us to take out a second to think about this machlokas is because it has some very valuable insights associated with it that are not necessarily going to match what the Ron himself thinks. You may have noticed by this time that the Ron's general approach to life is very non-Rambam-like. So it turns out that this involves another one of the machlokasin, of the way the Rambam learns the sugya versus the way the Ron learns the sugya. Let's think about the following question. When you have tevel and you eat tevel, so you would be chayav misa b'dei shamayim, because it says, v'lo yichalu kadshim b'nei Yisrael, asher yorimu l'Hashem, and yomutu. Now, what is tevel? Is tevel essentially an expression of the iser that is mixed up in this kri, so that in here is truma, and in here is truma's meiser? Those things, if I would eat the truma, and I would eat the truma's meiser, I would be chayav misa. So, if I have a mixture of truma and trumas meiser, maybe the reason that the asher yarimu would end up causing me to be chayav misa is because I'm basically eating truma for which I would be chayav misa. I'm basically eating trumas meiser. Now, the truth is that that cannot be the case. Why? Because if I don't take out any of the things, including my serisha, I still have tevel, which according to the Ran, I'm chayav misa for. How did I end up being chayav misa on my sesheni? So it must be that the issue of tevel is, as long as something was usher, if it's not taken off, and I know that Gavi is very busy drying dishes this morning, perhaps he could take a break and write. And so, this is a concept of truma psichabe. Psichabe means it's still mixed up. That's with a chof. Okay? Zaf yud chof, psichabe. So that the understanding of tevel is that it includes within it hidden elements of truma. So therefore, the Ran has to understand the issue like this. In order for tevel to be usher, at least, it must be that the thing that's mixed in it would be usher itself. But if the thing which is in it isn't usher itself, how could the tevel, which only contains the thing that you were supposed to be meirim, how could that be more chomor than eating the thing itself, which is mutter? So if the meiser ani is not usher for me to eat, says the Ran, how could you justify calling something tevel by my not removing the meiser ani? That's the problem. Therefore, Tanya's Rebbe Eliezer, it must be that it isn't called tevel if I don't take off the meiser ani. Okay? So the Ran understands this to be a svara. Now, It's a little bit of a weird svara, according to the Ran. Why? Because, as I just pointed out to you, on the Tevel, you're going to be chayav Misa. And on the Maaser Rishon, let's say, which everybody agrees creates Tevel if you don't take it out, you're not going to be chayav Misa. So you have the same argument. How could the Tevel be more chomer than the item itself? Now, the way the Rambam understands the whole thing, even that's not a problem. Why? Because the Rambam says, you are right that Tevel is a chayav Misa, but not all Tevel is a chayav Misa. Only Tevel, which is created by not removing Truma and Truma's Meiser, is chayav Misa. Tevel that is created by not taking out Meiser Sheni, let's say, is Tevel, but it's not a chayav Misa of Tevel. So according to the Rambam, the entire thing actually is consistent. Fine. What would be the reason, continues the Ran, for the Rabbanan to argue with Rebbe Eliezer? And to say that in the end, the not taking out and leaving behind Tevel is more chomer than eating the very thing that you were meant to take out. The truth is, it's a gzeiras hakosuf. And if you recall, we actually had this Gemara in Yevamos, where the Gemara says, you might think that the only chiyah for eating Tevel is if you didn't take out any of the matanot. How about if you took off Truma Gedola, but not Maaser Rishon? Or how about if you took off Truma Gedola and Maaser Rishon, but not Maaser Sheni? And how about if you took off Truma Gedola and Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, but what if it's a year of Maaser Ani, and you didn't take off Maaser Ani? How do we know that even that is considered to be Teva? Talmud Lomar answers the Gemara. It says, Lo tuchal lechol b'sha'orecha ma'aser degantcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, etc. Note the word b'sha'orecha. And when it comes to the mitzvah of taking off Maaser Ani, it says, v'achlu b'sha'orecha v'saveyu. Therefore, just like sha'orecha is utilized in terms of Maaser Ani, therefore it must be that the sha'orecha that says, Lo tuchal lechol b'sha'orecha, is a reference to Maaser Ani. So it's a gzeirat hakatuv. That's all. Apparently, Rebbe Eliezer doesn't have that drasha. She goes according to the svara from which the Gemara itself was asking in Yevamos. That's how the Ran understands the underlying question. So let's just review again. There's an underlying question which is hidden. We don't know, but for some reason we have a machlokas about whether something becomes tevel if you leave out the hafrasha trumat. The Afrasha of Maaser Ani, that is an indication of whether or not Asher Yarimu LaHashem applies to Maaser Ani. Since Asher Yarimu LaHashem implies that you have a Tovat Hana'ah, therefore it will make a difference as to whether someone who is Osir B'Hana'ah, such as the woman in our Mishnah, if she would be allowed to be Nenet from it. So this elaborate construct of Rabbi Yosef is the basis of the entire difference between the Mishnah and the Braita. Now, all of that turns out to be a house of cards. Sorry. Not necessarily a house of cards, but very possibly a house of cards. Because Rabbi Yosef jumped to the conclusion that the incorporation of the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, in Masechet Mai, in the Mishnah, is a result of an overall machlokas about whether Maaser Ani is Tovel or not. Maybe that's not true. Maybe the machlokas is in Masechet Mai only because it's Nogea, specifically the Chashad on an Am Haaretz. Nothing to do with Vaday at all, in which case it has nothing to do with making a Teva. What would be a difference for Demai? I'll tell you. When you buy something from an Am Haaretz, do you have to take off Truma Gedola? No. Why not? Because an Am Haaretz knows, Am Haaretz doesn't mean a yeshiva bocher b'zman hazeh, an Am Haaretz means somebody who knows something. So if you buy something from an Am Haaretz, the Am Haaretz knows that you could be yotzei the problem of your Truma by taking out one tiny seed and saying, this should be Truma Gedola. That doesn't cost him any money. This guy doesn't want to get involved in the Isurim of eating Truma or anything like that. So he does that. And if you yell at him, but the Rabbanan say you're supposed to give one out of 40 or one, All right. But b'diavad, it's okay. Very good. So therefore, he's going to be matir his field by taking off Truma Gedolah. So you don't have to take off Truma Gedolah. Now the question is, will he take off Maaser Ani? Why should he take off Maaser Ani? He should take off Maaser Ani because it don't cost him anything. It doesn't. It's 10% or 9% if they took off everything else. No, it isn't. Because, you see, he can simply steal back the Maaser Ani. What, he's a ganav? No! Remember, he's an Amoritz, not a yeshiva bocher. He knows the din. So therefore, all he needs to do is be mafkir his nechassim. Okay. So the moment that he's mafkir his nechassim, what happens? He is now technically defined by the Torah as an ani. So he says, okay, everything I own is hefker. Oy vey, what am I going to live on? What am I? Oh, looky, looky, here's this delicious Maaser Ani. I have a right to eat Maaser Ani because I am as poor as could be. I'm as poor as a church mouse. So he goes ahead and he takes his Maaser Ani, and now he's got what to eat. So why should he not take off Maaser Ani? So therefore, there's no chashad. Maybe that's the reason that you don't have to worry about taking off Maaser Ani. Nothing to do with this elaborate construct of Rabbi Yosef. Is Maaser Ani Tevel, not Tevel? It's very simple. Amachlokas Benogea, the din of Demai, has nothing to do with Tevel and has nothing to do with Vadai, okay? So then the whole thing just disappears into thin air. Rabbi Yosef's explanation is ridiculous. All right, so that's a possibility. And there may be many possibilities, but I'm just pointing out to you that, look, we've jumped to an awful lot of conclusion that is based on very little. Okay, so that's where we're up to, and let's see that insight. Omale Abaye, so Abaye says, I don't know why Reb Yosef is jumping to that conclusion. Maybe everybody holds that Maaser Ani is no different than anything else, and a suffix of Maaser Ani, meaning a vadai of Maaser Ani, of course, the same thing, would be tovel. Okay? So how do I explain the machlokas Reb Eliezer and the Rabbanan and Masechet Demai? No, it has to do with the question of whether, in practical terms, do Ame HaOretz take off Maaser Ani or not? Reb Eliezer and the Rabbanan argue in this. Reb Eliezer Savar, Lo nechshedu am haaretz al Maaser Ani. You do not have to worry that Am haaretz did not take off Maaser Ani. Why? Because you won't lose anything. Because kiven dilam yifka nechsev avi ani. B'shokalehu let leipseda. All he needs to do is to be officially mafkir everything he owns. Then he becomes an ani, and then he himself can benefit from it. So what does it cost him? Absolutely nothing. And therefore, he will take it off. Whereas the Rabbanan say, nah, he won't do that. Why not? He's nervous to be mafkir all his nechassim. What if somebody finds out? What if somebody goes and grabs his things while he claims to be as poor as a church mouse, huh? So therefore, listen, this guy, I mean, he knows that technically speaking, if he does that and he's for real, so then anybody can steal his stuff. So he won't do it. And therefore, you have to take off Maaser Ani. Now, does that have anything to do with all these complicated halachas? When it's double, no. It's simply a machlokas in the psychology of hefker. That's all. So what does that have to do with Rabbi Yosef? So therefore, we are left still with the question. How do you explain the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita in terms of a woman? Can she be nene or not? I mean, that has nothing to do with this question. It has nothing to do with Demai. And it was only Rabbi Yosef who was magically, I mean, he was so creative. He built out of nothing a machlokas that would tell us the difference between our mission and the Braita as to whether a woman is being nene from Tovat Hana'ah if she takes Maaser Ani. Okay, that was brilliant, but it's not based on anything, says Abaye. So that's not a good answer, all right? All right, so what do we do? Rava says, I'll give you an answer to the whole problem. Forget about all of this. Mishnah, we're not learning Demai, man. We're learning the Darim. So here's the problem, okay? Binogei and Darim. The question is very simple. There are two types of Maaser Ani. That's the answer. And the fact that there are two types of, that's not my imagination. There are two types of Maaser Ani because it says that there are two types of Maaser Ani in the Pasuk itself. You know, on the one hand, it says, Mikzei shalosh shanim totzi et kol ma'asar tvuatcha ba'ashana hayi. Actually, it doesn't say Bashana here, but we'll pretend it says Bashana. But Vihinachta Sha'arech. Vihinachta means leave it in. Of course, all Sha'arim that we're discussing here are the same Sha'arim, all Barnea neighborhoods. That's Sha'arei Barnea, velo Sha'arei Motza Olam. But the other pasuk says that Kitechalela Seret Koma Asar Tvuatcha Bashana Hashlishit Shnat HaMaser. What's that referring to? The year of Maaser Ani. And then it says, V'natata L'Levi V'Lager V'Liatom V'Lama. Wait a minute. I thought you said you're supposed to leave it on the ground. And now you're telling me you're supposed to give it out. Which one is it? Do I give it out or do I leave it on the ground? So the Sifre asks this question. How do you explain the contradiction in the Pasuk? And answers very simply. There are two different types of Maaser Ani. If it's Maaser Ani at a time that you can leave your stuff outside and it's not yet the rainy season, leave it outside and let people take it. But what about if leaving it outside is going to end up having it completely ruined by the rains? Take it indoors. Well, then how? So then give it out. So then that means that the Mishnah that says she cannot utilize Maaser Ani, that's talking about the Maaser Ani that's been given indoors. And the Braita that says she can is referring to Maaser Ani that's not given indoors. So we make a big deal out of all of this. And whew, we went through all of this just to finally realize, oh man, we better do more. I mean, nobody's going to be happy with leaving the daf at this point, right? So let's continue. Let's just see this inside. Okay, so Rav Amar kan b'maaser ani hamitchalek b'toch habayit. We're over there. It says v'natata tichtiv v'beinitina v'natata l'levi v'lager. That is because of that a tovat hana'a. If I have to give it out and I choose her to give it out too, then she's being netted from me. So she's not allowed to take that. Masha inkein the maaser ani kan b'maaser ani hamitchalek b'toch hagironot. We're over there, you're giving Maaser Ani by leaving it out there in the field at the threshing floor because you're not allowed to take it. You have to leave it. It says, v'hinachta. There, okay. Kiva tichtibe v'hinachta b'sha'arecha. Shorei leili tanuye. Therefore, when she comes along to take it, it's nobody's darn business. She takes it without even saying, do you will to the boner? And therefore, she's not getting anything from him. There was no tovat hana'a. QED, akol sharir v'kayam. Now, we can move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So the next piece of the Mishnah made a distinction between a case where she says that nobody is allowed to be nenef from me, no Kohanim and Levim. She's fed up with Barnea's neighborhood, and therefore none of them are going to be able to be nenef from her. So it says over there, if she says none of them are going to be able, so then they can simply go and take it. But if she says, anybody except Barnea can be Nene from my Truma, any Kohen, so then Barnea won't be able to take it. And then we'll have to
Yaakov Kleiman gets some attention.
Listen, if Yaakov Kleiman can't show up at the Goren because of the fact that he has no camera, so how could he get attention? He could send a shliach. I'm assuming he's sending Barnea as a shliach.
Especially since Chatzi Goren meant everybody could see everybody. So
that's right. Exactly. Nu, Rabbi Yaakov, we're ready to take up a special fund to get you a camera, but you have to risk your life and admit to people that you've got a camera. I don't know. You ready to do that?
No camera.
Okay. That's what I call tzniut. Just think of all of this amazing Truma that he's risking, right? All right. So what do we do? So in that case, Barnea can't take it, but Rabbi Yaakov can. Okay. So therefore, we have ourselves a bit of a contradiction, don't you think? If you're telling me that the Kohanim could just walk in, look at that. Transparency. It's the wrong color. That looks like a different chemical. I'm sorry. Gavi, help me out, man. Okay, so the first part is mashma, that the Kohanim and Levim can march right in and take away the Truma. Now, wait. Does his right to determine who gets Truma, if that's Tovat Hana'a, is that worth anything? Is that money? I mean, how can I steal from that guy his right to give out the truma. I'm confused. That it seems to imply that I'm not stealing it from him, and that Tovat Hana'a, look, if he's not going to use the Tovat Hana'a, tough on him. I'm just going to take it, right? I'm not taking anything from him. It's not as if it's worth anything. This question about whether Tovat Hana'a is worth anything, this is a major issue. Suppose, for instance, a Yisrael has truma to give out, and he wants to be Mekadesh a woman. You can imagine the tumult this will make at the wedding. Everybody will have a different shita. Hareyat mekudeshet li b'tovat hana'a shel netinat ha'truma sheyesh li b'toch beiti. Well, where's the ring? Nah, this is much worth much more than the ring. Okay, so is that considered to be, you thought ksuvas were problems. Let me tell you. So this ksuva was a five-hour machlokas. In the end, they had to call the cops. People are believing. I mean, it's unbelievable. That question of tovat hana'a mamoninat is very serious. So now, if you're telling me that any coin can just walk in there, walk off with my stuff, because it's not my stuff, so then obviously the fact that I have the right to give it out is not translated into an ownership of something, and therefore there's no problem. Now, that implies that Tovat Hana'a is not considered to be Mamon, and therefore the wedding is canceled, because he didn't give her anything, and he doesn't have a ring. So what are you supposed to do? Okay, so in that case, the first statement in the Mishnah is telling me that Tovat Hana'a is not considered to be Mamon, and that's very clear. Ama Tovat Hana'a eino Mamon. But then the Mishnah goes right along, and it says, but if you only asered Barnea, then you have to give it to others and not to Barnea. I understand. If Tovat Hana'a is not Mamon, so then what's the problem of Barnea's having it? He's not getting it from me. Alma Tovat Hana'a is not considered to be Mamon. And that, look, I understand. You can tell me I can't give it to him. Fine. But he certainly should be allowed to take it. Just like in the other case, any coin was allowed to take it. So make up your mind. Is Tovat Hana'a Mamon or not? Omer of Oshaya, you're right. The Mishnah is actually an amalgam of two completely different shitas. One is going Aliba Rebbe, and one is going Aliba the Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. Where do we see a machlokas in that? The Tanya. Let's say somebody steals Tevel. So if he steals Tevel from someone, what does he have to pay back? Well, Rebbe says he has to pay back everything. He has to pay back the value of the whole thing. Wait, what do you mean the whole thing? I mean, some of it is trumas and maestros that were going to be taken out of him. He didn't really own that. Okay, he didn't really own it, but he had Tovat Hana'a. That's worth money. So you got to pay him for everything. Some of it you pay full market value, and other you pay 20 cents on the dollar, which is the value of the Tovat Hana'a, right? Okay, so clearly that says that Tovat Hana'a is worth money because Rebbe says you got to pay him for it. Masha Enke, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only have to pay him for the part that is mutter to eat after you take off the trumas and the maestros and so on, and you only pay him according to the value of the chulin. Now, I mean, it seems pretty clear that the machlokas is that Rabbi who says you have to pay for the whole thing he holds Tovat Hana'a is mama. And Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only pay for the part which is chulin he holds Tovat Hana'a ain't a mama. And therefore, our Mishnah makes sense. The Mishnah first says that all of the Kohanim can just walk in and take it. That's going Aliba Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Then when it says Barnea cannot take it, that's going according to Rabbi, because it's worth money and he's being nene from the guy. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the solution, because it's very likely that everybody, both Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, agree that Tovat Hana'a is not considered to be mama. The machlokas over here, Gabi, please write, is about matanot shelo hurmu kemi shehurmu damyan. That's the question. Do we say that when we have tevel, which is in need of removing from it the truma and the meiser, etc., those things are seen as being separate entities, and they already have the din of truma and meiser in terms of their value and so on, and they are as if they've been separated, And that's good for the machlokas. So Rebbe holds that they are not considered to be separated out. Okay, so then they're just all one big glob of chulin. And therefore you pay for the whole thing. Maybe you don't pay tovasana, maybe pay for the whole thing. Because we look at it as chulin. Mashenkin Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda holds, they're considered to already be the real matanot, and even though lo hurmu, kamishu hurmu damyan, and therefore it's not yours. That would be the machlokas. Well, no. What do you mean? If tovat hana'ah is not considered to be momon, what kind of explanation is that, that there's a difference if they're hurmu or they're not hurmu? The bottom line is, they're not yours. In other words, you're going to say that Rebbe says pay for the whole thing. What do you mean pay for the whole thing? You know perfectly well that it is not all yours. You have to take off this amount for the Kohen and this amount for the Levi. Why am I paying you? That doesn't explain it. I don't care whether it's, technically speaking, Kamishu Hormu or not Kamishu Hormu. That's not the explanation. Okay. All right. So you know what? Maybe this has nothing to do with that whole machlok. So maybe it's very simple. Maybe Rebbe holds that the Rabbanan give a knas to a ganav. You rotten ganav. You think you're going to get away with murder just because of the problem of there being trumas or meisers in here? And you're going to say, when we say, we have witnesses that you stole a truckload, and this is the value of the truckload, and you're going to come in there with a big yarmulke, and you're going to say, well, now, wait a minute, I can't pay for the entire truckload. I mean, remember that 10% was meiser. Why should I pay him for the meiser? And, you know, this percent was meiser sheni. I'm not going to pay for that, et cetera, right? I mean, this is, of course, you got yourself a good frum lawyer, and he's going to get you off of at least that much. No. Rabbanan say, you want to steal, then you pay according to what you stole. We don't allow these kind of tainas. So it's just a knas, maybe. So the Rabbanan hold, konsur Rabbanan leganav, in order to discourage him from stealing. We make you pay for the whole thing. Mashenkin, Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold of this knas. Or, you know, we could say just the opposite. We could say that actually, perhaps, everybody agrees, this is the way Ron understands this next piece, maybe everybody could agree that the Tovat, the issue over here is that we're not talking about a Knas of the Ganav, but just the opposite. Maybe Tovat Hana'ah is Mamon. And why then do I not have to pay according to Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda? Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda says we do give a knas, but not to the ganav. We give a knas to the guy who's got the tevel. Huh? Yes? Why are you leaving tevel around in your house, you bum? If you're going to leave tevel around in your house, we're not going to compensate you for the loss of your tovat hana'ah. And that's going to be a knas on you. Teach you better than shipping tevel in trucks that are going to be captured on the Mexican highway. So therefore, the knas is the opposite direction. I don't know, maybe, but the point is that there's plenty of other explanations for what's going on over here. So then, anyway, but, I mean, if that's true, of course, we're left with the contradiction in the Mishnah. Is the Tovat Hana'ah of the Truma, is it considered to be Mammon or not? Why does the Mishnah imply at the beginning that every Kohen could just march in and take it? And then the Mishnah says, Barnea can't take it. How do you explain that? Says Rava, I'll tell you. It's very simple. The case of Truma over here, where all Kohanim were prohibited, that's different. Why? What's this guy going to be doing with this Truma? He can't give it to a Kohen. What's he going to do with it? So that means that essentially he has destroyed the Tovat Hana'ah in it because he can't give it to anyone, right? So now, since the Truma can only be given to Kohanim, so Mishum the Truma Lochazia Ela Lekohanim, and he asserted giving it to any Kohanim, so what did he do? He turned it into Afra Ba'alma, exactly what you do when you're being Mavato your Chometz, right? I'm being mavato all of this. I have no anon it. That's exactly what you did to your truma. So if you say that your truma is afra ba'alma, so then you're giving up and mafkir, for all intents and purposes, your tovat hana'a. So therefore, any kohen who wants to can simply walk in and take it. I'm not taking anything from you. I'm taking from hefker. You turned it afra ba'alma. Masha Enkin, where you're maintaining your rights to give it away, then it's not Afra B'Alma. You only don't want to give it to Barnea. So then why would he be allowed to take it? In that case, the Tovat Hana'a still exists. And that explains very simply, from within the cases, Rava, Tovat Hana'a is Maman. But if you don't have Tovat Hana'a, because you said nobody's going to get it, so how could it be Maman? That's the beauty of it. Now, this raises a fascinating question, which is theoretical Tovat Hana'a Maman? And that is all types of amazing problems that are dependent on that. Why do I say theoretical? Because you could always go and be shoyel on the netter. If you're shoyel on the netter, so then it turns out that even the mafreya, because remember, she'ela on a netter to a chacham is oiker the netter from the beginning. So then it would turn out that it was yours. So wait a second. So then how can the Kohanim take something which may in the end turn out to be someone else's? Because maybe it'll be shoyel on his neder. It gets even more complicated. Yol tovat hana'a mamon in a case where he actually was mekadesh a woman with that, right? So now all of the learned rabbis under the chuppah, after fighting with each other, come to the conclusion that in that case he doesn't have any tovat hana'a, because after all, he was mafkirit and he's treating it like afra. But one of the other learned rabbis says, but wait, what if he would be shayel? So now the majority ruled the woman is free and clear. She is not married to him because he didn't own it. She goes and marries somebody else. And the next day he's mad to the nether. Now it turns out that he did own it, but then she was married to the first guy. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? As you can see, the theoretical possibility of the Tovat Hana'a can get things even into bigger fights than the actual Tovat Hana'a. Okay, so this itself is a big machlokas rishonim. Do we define the status of ownership as is or as is possible? If we define it as is, then what may turn out in the future to be the status of this today is irrelevant to me, because that's not what money is about. Now, it's true that some people who live on invisible money, maybe that is what money is about. And today, many people live on totally invisible money. They didn't even know what the heck a Bitcoin is. But so that invisible money may be here tomorrow, gone today, or vice versa. Maybe for them, the halacha would be different. But for normal people, money is actual value. And therefore, it is going to be determined, according to many Rishonim, Dafka, by what is now. This has immense, immense hashlachot in terms of economics. The Ron discusses his shita over here, if you want to look into it more. But it's a wonderful, exciting issue in our Masechet.